Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With us today, we have Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
Good morning, Dr. Paul. How are you this morning?
Doing well. All right. Doing well.
Good. Good.
Starting to count some votes and find out what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about a little news clip here that said that the Democrats might be in trouble.
Yeah.
And we don't want to wish harm to anybody, but we could wish that some people didn't vote so often.
Yeah.
I was always resistant to people. The most important thing you do, and you know they're lying through their teeth, the most important thing you do is everybody has to vote. You know they're saying, we want you to vote. Trip those other guys and don't let them vote.
Vote at least once.
So, but here's an article from our friend Dave DeCamp.
Yeah.
More than 500,000 Democratic voters protest Biden's support of Gaza slaughter. They're upset, and they mentioned that in their primary races and said that they're protesting this. So that's a pretty good thing if we want to see significant changes. I was thinking 500,000, that's enough to swing an election.
Yeah.
But I got to thinking, it almost is too many for people to hide and steal and manipulate, too.
Yeah.
You know, it's getting to be difficult. I am always amazed at the people who manipulate elections. The one thing you can, they're all usually in charge and they can hide what they're doing. But people who will not support voter ID has to be suspicious of participating in some illegal activity there. So why wouldn't it be natural? And even to the point where they're so blatant, they say, and we don't even believe that illegals should be, ID. That's essentially what they're saying, that no voter ID, which is crazy. So this demonstrates our position that you can't be too sold on pure democracy. Sometimes they Mickey Mouse around it, and I think that's what's happening.
Yeah.
So this is just more information. What we're talking about here today, of course, Daniel, is which way the swing is on the people and looking at the polls. So in a way, this was a indirect polling.
Yeah.
You know, what they did was they added up each one. I think it started in Michigan, where people just refused to do and said none of the above type of thing.
Yeah.
So there's a significant amount. If they gathered up 500,000, you can imagine a lot of people thought about it and didn't do. Oh, I didn't know I could do that. So I would think maybe even, and this was in the Democratic primaries too.
Yeah, the primaries.
So I think that's news that might be one of the most significant findings right now, even so than these professional polls. So we'll have to see. We'll see soon.
Yeah, it's very clear that his progressive flank is very upset over the Biden's policies toward Israel and Gaza. He essentially, from day one, gave Israel a blank check. Maybe he didn't think they would try to cash the check, but they have tried to cash the check. And so when the slaughter is so obvious, when you have 35,000 people, most of them civilians, having been killed, you're going to have the progressive side. You're going to have a lot of Muslim background voters who were Democrat voters. And like you said, it started in Michigan, where there are a lot of Muslim Americans there who are protesting. You can put up this the clip, because it's kind of a follow-up from what we were saying yesterday. As you say, more than 500,000 Democrat voters in the primary voted for uncommitted or uninstructed, went on the ballot instead of voting for President Biden to be reelected. And I think what you're having is kind of pitting the donor class versus the voting class, because obviously the people that are financing, that are spending the party, well, they're in favor of a very hawkish Israel, by and large, even Democrat funders. But you have the rank and file in the party, certainly a section of that rank and file, an important section in important swing states, that are so furious that they are really voting for none of the above to send a message. And they're not only doing that, actually go to the next one here, because in Michigan, it's very interesting. Last week, 48,091 votes were cast for uninstructed in the Wisconsin primary. The turnout far exceeded the organizers' expectations. They're trying to organize it as a protest. The opposition to Biden was strongest in the area of Wisconsin, where University of Madison, Wisconsin-Madison students reside, historically a Democratic stronghold. And this is the thing, Dr. Paul, in that area, 30% of the voters cast ballots for uncommitted. And it's something that the local rep, Mark Pocan, called a big blanking deal, meaning that they are paying attention to people that are furious over this Middle East policy.
Oh, no, I think this is very significant. And I think it's great to have these issues out because others will realize it. But I think the important thing is they were looking, I think, mainly at the states that were swing states.
Yeah.
You know, it's different than, you know, doing this in Florida or someplace that they're not worrying about.
Yeah.
But that's news, and we'll see what it really means. And if it looks like what we're thinking about, it could be bad news for the president.
It could be, because it will be a suppressed voter turnout. But the problem is the Democrats can always put forth the bogeyman of Trump. Well, if you don't go down, okay, you've had your little protest, you've had your fun. Do you want the scary orange man back? You better get down there. So I think that might be what they're calculating. They're probably calculating, if you don't vote for Biden, you've got nowhere else to go. You know, so we can afford to sacrifice you on this one issue. Are you going to let this be your single issue and let Trump be back in office? Or are you going to give him another mandate and maybe he'll sort it out?
But their record is not all that good about projecting what these items, you know, work out, whether it's a court ruling and he can be indicted, the whole works. So even if they say that and you try to use it, sometimes it does exactly the opposite, and that's what's been happening. It's rather weird. I think they're past the point. And a few Democrats will wake up and say, you know, something's wrong. We're not doing this the right way.
Yeah.
And make a suggestion that quit doing it. The more credibility you lose, and the more Trump becomes credible.
Yeah.
It's ironic.
You know, I try to think of how Trump might capitalize on this discontent in the Democratic Party, and I really don't see a way that he can. One of the things that could have been a nightmare for the Biden people would have been if RFK Jr. had not turned out to be so hawkish on Israel, so pro-Israel, because if he had come out as more of a peace candidate in the region, he would have sucked a lot of those Democrat votes away.
That was a disappointment.
Yeah, yeah. So let's move on. I just want to say one of the things that is the protests. Every time this is getting to be a problem for the campaign, every time Biden shows up, you've got people screaming, Genocide Joe, Genocide Joe, and it's kind of spoiling the party for them. So anyway, let's move on to Kyle Anzalone had a good piece in the Libertarian Institute today, our good friends over there. And this is one, I would categorize this as, we're not that surprised. Israel seeks to sell weapons used in Gaza slaughter. They have demonstrated them, they kill pretty well, and so now they're going on the world market.
You know, I've always known, not always, but in recent years knew that Israel did their own manufacturing of weapons.
Yeah.
And then they are also in the business of selling them to each other. But really, can they do that, you know, completely divorced from U.S. activity or permission? They can't fight the wars without our permission and our weapons and our money. So if they're building something, it has to be in collusion, you know, with our military-industrial complex. So they have their own little military-industrial complex. But it does suggest that if they're powerful enough and capable enough where they can manufacture things, I would think it'd be a good reason why us to stay out of their business, both militarily and domestically, if this is just run by their domestic programs. Selling weapons would be interesting. I wonder how many people that we know that they're selling to.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. It is in the article, but you know, it just goes to show, and U.S. did the same thing. You know, you need to have a good hot war to show how good your weapons are.
Yeah.
You know, and we go around the world and do the same thing. And the Israelis are, you know, from what I've read, very advanced in many weapon systems. But here's from the article. If you put this on, I have a little bit of a highlight on part of it. Israeli weapons makers are selling some weapons platforms that have been utilized during the onslaught in Gaza. Now that sounds obscene, but this is the arms business, so obscenity is part of it. Tel Aviv's arm industry has found buyers among several Asian countries as Washington tries to make allies in the region, preparing for a future war with China. This is the interesting part, I think, Dr. Paul, because there are a lot of people that claim that as an ally, Israel doesn't really bring anything to the table for the U.S. I think this is an example where they actually do, but it's not for the U.S. people, it's for the U.S. arms industry. They're going around the world selling arms to countries that want to have a war with China. So they're kind of doing our bidding in stirring up war, not peace overseas.
Well, you know, some of the other countries like Afghanistan, they do sell weapons. We know about how these countries that we put the weapons in there. But I would think this is more evidence just from a practical viewpoint. Why are we still sending weapons over there if they can make their own?
Yeah.
You know, get them from somebody else. But of course, the non-intervention position is you don't give them money, intelligence, or anything else. You treat them as friends,
yeah.
and you treat them equally with everybody.
Exactly.
But not to subsidize them. So that's what I think. I hope that is the prevailing issue that's developing, you know, on all these issues of on war funding, especially with Ukraine and the money that could be spent elsewhere, because that is the important thing. Is if they see this as a false, it's an illusion that all of a sudden this is necessary for our national security.
Yeah.
See, I think when you get in a crowd and start talking about this, people, even if they're not with us on, you know, libertarianism, they might say, well, you know, that does make sense. Well, how does it really help us? But boy, some of them just, you know, love it for the sake of loving that type of activities. There's a bunch of those people, too.
Yeah, that's true. Well, here's what they did. If you put on that next clip, they went to an arms show in Singapore to demonstrate their weapons to the people who are enemies of China. And the U.S. has long been trying to court the Philippines and a couple of other countries down there who've wavered back and forth. We need to have like a base over there that we can provoke China with. So back to the article by Kyle. In coverage of the Singapore arms event, Haaretz notes that some of the drones touted by the Israeli arms dealers were used by Azerbaijan in Nagorno-Karabakh last year. Last year, the Azeris completed an ethnic cleansing of the region by forcing the enclave's last 100,000 residents out of the Republic of Artsakh and into Armenia. An Israeli official said it was primarily seeking clients who did not buy Chinese arms. Quote, ultimately, all the countries in the region are threatened by the Chinese. A senior figure in one of the Israeli defense companies told Haaretz, here at this air show, they don't buy fighter jets from China. So they've already been tested by Azerbaijan, which completed an ethnic cleansing of ethnic Armenians in Nagorno-Karabakh. And so they're pretty good for ethnic cleansing, so that's what they're taking to the market, I guess.
So many people, especially right now, they have this bizarre position that we have to deal with China, they're taking away our business, and we have to slap them down and this sort of thing. If we just back off, and you know, they'll self-destruct like we're doing to ourselves. So they would take care of the problems that we think we have to be there. But unfortunately, there's a money issue involved too, which is a driving force for so much of what they do.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to the last thing we want to talk about today. And it's not an easy topic, so we're just going to kind of give an overview. But it's a big battle on the Hill. And this is what Politico has to say about it. Inside the House's GOP surveillance law nightmare, if we can put that up. This is Speaker Johnson again being brutally battered and beaten about the head and body with a raucous Republican group in the House. But we've talked about it before. Section 702 of the FISA Reform Act, which was passed in that era where we passed the Patriot Act that let them spy on us, but they promised it would just sunset. Then they passed the FISA reform stuff, and they said, don't worry, it'll sunset. It's only for the bad guys. And then Ed Snowden came around and others and saying, well, actually, no, they're spying on you, and that's what it's all about. So we passed some more reform stuff. So reform, reform, reform. But at the end of the day, what it means is they don't want to let go of the ability to spy on us. And what it is, and I'm just going to, this is a paragraph that explains it pretty well, hopefully in a way that's understandable, if you can put this one up. Reapproving the section of the FISA, Foreign Intelligence Service Surveillance Act, known as Section 702, it allows the intelligence community to collect and search through communications of foreign targets without a warrant. The article says, it was always going to be difficult given the sour relationship between some Republicans and the FBI. But that skepticism, which dates back to the FBI's initial investigation into Trump's campaign in 2016, is only the start of the party's problems on surveillance policy, according to interviews. So essentially what it is, Dr. Paul, to reiterate, and you know this well, is they can suck up everything as long as it's a foreign target. But say you got a call from Iran, hey, Dr. Paul, do you want to come on our show? Then they would suck up not only that call, but everything that you have in your information. And if you called me and said, hey, what are we going to do for the show tomorrow? Then they would suck me into it. So they suck all this stuff without a warrant. And a lot of people are opposed to doing that. They want to retain that ability to do that.
And who follows up on all this, the details? This is the CIA.
Yeah.
And this nonsense that started with the Patriot Act and fall through with FISA, it exists. There's always been a little bit, but it's much worse. And my contention is that the Republic has been destroyed in this country. And who takes over when there's a vacuum? And I think it's the CIA and other agencies like
NSA,
that.
Yeah.
And you can't touch them. But there was always this idea that they were sacred, and it was a patriotic thing to do, except I think it's starting to shift a little bit, just like these interventionist wars, the attitude is shifting too. So I would say there are some good signs out there, but we have a long way to go to get people to accept the idea that you don't need those type of agencies spying on our enemies when they usually are spying on us.
Yeah.
You cannot have it. Matter of fact, they're absolutely, incompatible, with a true republic where you're supposed to, have local limited government and you don't need to be. If you want an empire, you have to pretend you need the CIA, which means that what they do is they underline, the republic if the republic is involved, and that's where we are, and this is why we're in big trouble. But this is part of the problem is that the foreign policy just drifts over to them, so they have more and more. So this is a big issue. But I think the people right now, we say, oh, they're arguing over this. Why don't they just be busy and pass the thing?
Yeah.
But this might, I'm looking for something good to say. This might be a good sign that there's a more significant debate on people saying, we don't need all this stuff.
Yeah.
We don't need any of it. And that's where the debate is now. That's why they can't even bring it up on the House floor.
Yeah, they haven't. Well, now they're back from their, whatever it's called, spring break, whatever. They have to take it up because it will sunset on the 19th of this month, the 702. But, originally the sunset was supposed to be a good thing. Hey, we're going to sunset it. Don't worry. It's not a big deal. Now it's like, we can't sunset it. We can't let that happen. So what's going to be at play probably this week, now that they're back in session, is that Johnson has to deal with a faction of his party that wants him to pass it as it stands, meaning you can have all your stuff sucked up if you have any dealings with a foreign entity whatsoever, even a friendly force. And then there's another faction that says we need to pass some reform at least when it comes to the American information, you need a warrant for that part. You can't suck it up altogether. You got to put a warrant for the American. You can put this next one up because this is laying out the battle lines. So GOP leaders are expected to tee up a vote on a bipartisan proposal that would add a warrant mandate once the bill is taken up on the floor. And Intelligence Committee members and their allies are increasingly confident they can block the change. The Intel Committee, of course, they have fealty to the intelligence community, so they don't want to have the people to have their freedom. Brian Fitzpatrick, Republican from Pennsylvania, an intelligence panel member and former FBI agent, he said, the thought of stripping ourselves unilaterally of our most important national security tool is unfathomable. He's un-American.
There's always a political stunt where you say, write your congressman and this will have an influence. And to some degree, I believe sometimes that's the only thing you have left is talk to or get some information to him. Hopefully he'll listen. But I don't think I'm going to suggest that, what we need to do is spread the message. Right, Mike Turner.
Yeah.
Right? He's the chairman of the committee, intelligence committee. He'll help us out. So that's not going to happen. But good that people there's two sides to this argument right now.
Your own member. And the interesting thing, I didn't make a clip of it, but in the article, it had an interesting point. That, well, in the early days of George W. Bush, this was automatic. All Republicans were for the surveillance. There was no factions. Now, all of a sudden, there's so many Republicans who are resisting this, who are standing up for civil liberties. Well, my first thought was, there was something called the Ron Paul movement in the Republican Party, and it led to great people like Thomas Massie and others who are emerging as great people as well. And now Massey has been leading the charge, and he's on the Rules Committee, which gives him a lot of power. Let's look at a couple of his tweets. He's been very active on this. The first one says, the U.S. government uses the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act to spy on Americans without a warrant. This week, the House will vote to require the feds to get a warrant to snoop on Americans. Sadly, the vote is likely to fail. I will demand a recorded vote and post the results. To which Marjorie Taylor Greene, who can be very good on some issues, she retweeted this and replied. She said, and they'll likely put pressure on all of us to vote for it by saying an unknown number of terrorists are in America. We can't allow another 9/11. She says, but they do nothing to secure the border. If they really cared about our safety, border security would be the most important issue on both sides of the aisle. Warrantless spying is wrong. And actually, they don't need FISA to go after terrorists who've come over our borders because the Constitution doesn't apply to them. They aren't citizens. Now, she's wrong in that. That's not true. Nevertheless, FISA has been abused by our government, she says, to spy on hundreds of thousands of Americans, and I don't trust our government to stop abusing FISA. I'll go ahead and give you my vote. It's a no to FISA reauthorization without warrants. So,
well,
good for her.
You know who's behind all this is, I think, McConnell. Because he calls people like us and others
isolationists.
So you don't want to be an isolationist. But, you know, what he's doing is he's fibbing a little bit with his definition. Isolation for him is, you know, crawling into a corner and ignoring the whole world and ignoring what you're supposed to do. And yet it's nothing more than non-intervention. Mind your own business and don't start wars on purpose.
Yeah.
So that's the but one thing that we noticed the other day was McConnell stuff, and I hear there's some things going on in Washington where McConnell is not going to have smooth sailing completely.
Yeah. There's a new sheriff in town. There are at least some new good people in town. Now, the latest thing, this is last night from Massey. I just wanted to throw it out here because he is commenting over a Politico journalist. If you can put the next one up, Jordan Carney, I think the journalist is, and she reports that Speaker Johnson's staffer told a group of GOP staff yesterday that he opposes the warrant requirement amendment at the center of this week's 702 debate, to which Massey says, according to Politico, the speaker now opposes requiring the FBI and other agencies to get a warrant when they use the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act to violate America's privacy. Where does your representative stand? The Constitution is clear. Get a warrant.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. Come in. They haven't erased that word.
I
think the word, and yet they totally ignore it. They don't use that as a debate. Well, this is necessary for national defense, is what they're going to say.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't wait, you know, and wait to go through the process like that. We might not be able to get it.
Yeah,
maybe they
yeah.
recognize that they're spying on Americans too. So, yes. This is, and the big picture for me is the people who are really in charge of all this surveillance is our CIA, and they've been around long enough for us to realize what really goes on and is hidden. And if we want a true republic, we have to give up on that notion that we need the CIA to run things.
And you know what's also disturbing is a lot of these people that are now in Congress, they're CIA, they're FBI, they're from the deep state, they're from the intelligence community. And look at all of the commentators on the news, the mainstream news channels are all ex-CIA, ex... You know, it used to be that would be considered unseemly, that once you retire from a spy agency, you just go live in the suburbs somewhere. But now, you try to frame the debate.
It's sort of like in the pharmaceutical industry.
Yeah,
the people
that
were at the FDA, after 20, 30 years, get a little experience. Guess what? They go to work for the pharmaceutical company.
Revolving door.
And make a couple bucks, too.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I guess we finished up for today. Right. And I want to thank our viewers. Looks like we had a good audience today, as usual. And we appreciate all our live chatters. We've got a conference this weekend coming up. So we've got a busy week coming up at the Ron Paul Institute. But we're happy to have you here with us. And we'll hope to see you tomorrow on the Liberty Report.
Very good. And I, too, want to thank all our viewers for tuning in. And today, I think we talked about some things that are very interesting politically, but also one philosophically. And that has to do with spying on the American people. And yet, we pointed out that there is a break in this where it's not universal. It used to be if he had a vote similar to something like this, you'd get three or four of us to vote against it. But now the battle on this, it's holding up the Congress. But like Daniel pointed out, there is a date that they have to finally do something because otherwise it'll be canceled. And that would be very bad from their viewpoint. But I think it's whole thing is how they can take something like, do we need a warrant for this? It's one of the clearest things in the Constitution. I mean, you can't go wrong on it. And they don't even make excuses anymore. They just totally ignore it. It's, oh, this, you know, maybe change the definition or something. They just ignore the whole thing. But couldn't you say that about 80 or 90% of the other things that we do in Washington? Probably every regulatory agency are not technically authorized under constitutional terms. So there's a lot of work to go ahead, but there are seeds planted out there. We hope to throw a few more seeds out there, encourage people to promote the cause of liberty. And I want to thank everybody today for tuning in to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.